Sometimes I think I'm good. Monday morning at midnight.
Test.
Mm-hmm.
What? Those batteries.
Yeah.
Oh, they're fancy.
Are you saying fancy? I thought you'd be calling.
Oh, okay. Testing.
It's not me.
That guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Speaking,
he'll find a way.
It's like, oh no.
Was that my outside voice?
It's something that.
Yeah, but Ryan had a watch too.
Yeah,
in the artillery in the army. Yeah.
Well, he didn't run for that.
Oh, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
didn't rerun.
Okay.
How you been?
Good. Yeah, different thing for you today. Oh, yeah. How you been?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. Hanging out there.
Yeah, you're looking the same. That's good.
Doing the thing, right?
Yeah. That means the years aren't getting too far ahead of
right.
us.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to get on the floor and ask for help to get up.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, okay, how does this work?
Sure, grad kids learn how to get up.
Roll over. Roll will find something.
Yeah. The bad thing, I used to work with a woman at state school way back in 65, I think it was. And anyway, then she went to high school and worked with her there. And she was 96 years old, and her husband dementia, and she took care of her 10 years, something like that. So I stopped by the house because she always treated me good.
Oh, you didn't bring
and I said, okay, let's have a little contest, Betty. She can tell she's 96.
Oh,
you know, let's see, touch your toes, you know. I look over there, she is. I said, okay, let's make this fair. Let's see who can get off the ground the quickest. She won. Yeah, it was funny to me. I'm looking for something to grab a hold of. I see a big tree blew down in the dog park.
Yeah, there was one over there. I think there was some damage over there. There was some structure here or something.
I wonder, the trees are going down everywhere.
Yeah, I know. There was one that came over across the road at our place, too. So they all won. Guys out there chainsaws. A wild storm came through Saturday.
Yeah, the city used to take it down there where the ballpark is, leave it there, you know. Now just take it down to the other place. But yeah, I used to go around and check them out. You want to throw it back and pick up the truck.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's too fast.
All righty. Nice seeing you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Hello, Dan.
Greetings.
How are you?
You survived the...
Time was not...
Finance, right? Yeah, yeah.
I'm not on finance, remember?
That's right. I keep confusing. I'm like, you're the chair. What are you doing?
I know.
You're as bad as me. I'm like, yeah, somebody else can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
I forgot.
Pretty much.
Sorry. Sorry. So you don't have anything, and you were just like letting in like me. You're like, okay, I guess I gotta go over there.
Well, I did public safety right before this. So. Yep,
yeah,
and I have my notes and everything. Yep. I just rushed straight from work. But luckily some people picked up my little one, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What an agenda. Yep.
Oh, well, black and white, yeah. The world's easier
if
it's black and white.
Hey.
But it's not black and white.
Black and white?
So it's only a dream. Thank you.
Hey,
how are you?
Oh, you know, just been. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Right?
Oh yeah.
That's a good idea.
You know what?
That is the only way.
That's
the first thing I start doing. I don't know about you two, but that's what I do.
Oh.
Because man,
it's handy.
It's been weighing kind of heavy on me.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, just been hearing, you know, all the things.
I don't know, but look, we got a new clock. I'm given this, if that's the direction, is good. If we got a new clock after 2 years of old one. And,
you're funny.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm happy.
It.
Something finally got done.
I love it.
I don't know what to do with myself because I'm never here early.
Well, unless you have meetings, you come to those.
Yeah, but I'm
is
still...
it once a month?
What?
Do you do that once a month?
The CDC?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do it twice a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Dan is like cracks the whip.
Wow. You're a twofer, huh?
Oh, yeah. We gotta do it all the time.
Twice a month. That's great. Yeah. Just glad you're on council. Yeah. You are me and that it's for the people. That's so important.
I think that's why we're all here. It's a great group.
It is. It is. I really have to say, like,
it's usually unusual to get to kind of this level without having kind of really, you know, weird people, but
mm-hmm.
It's a great group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. So that was cool. I think that's.
Yeah.
I'm a little suspicious, right?
Kelly's always. You're born that way.
I was.
Right?
Because you know what? I'm the youngest of three boys. And
right.
Whenever anything was bad in the neighborhood, they could come to our house and be right. Right? They could be right. So now I'm suspicious as an adult because I'm like, I know what you did.
A new
block. I know.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that you guys noticed that. I didn't even.
I noticed it last week, but I didn't.
Oh, was it there last week?
Well, no, it was. It was like a week.
It's been here for a
judge,
month, I think.
And then we got.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't last week. It was the week before because last week I was online.
You were, and they had a problem with it, and then they got it. It was good.
They needed a battery.
It only took 2 years. Changes.
Yeah, I think it's actually a little slow though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
How are you doing? You look better.
Finance.
Okay.
What's that?
The two finance people. We're missing one.
The main one?
Main.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really gotta pee, but I know there's not time.
Well, you can get up in the middle if it gets bad.
God, this, God, man, I need to bring a writing. That's what I need to do.
We've been going so.
Borrow mine.
I feel like you need to use yours.
How are you doing, Gwendolyn?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Just because you're the mayor doesn't mean you can.
Right.
Is that part of the job?
I don't know. I don't know. It's like, I'm not sure which place it's on. Yeah, hang on a second. Which one is my name on? I can't see.
Well, it should be this one. With
okay.
The big,
just confirm. You can do it. Used to be.
Oh, am I in the wrong
yeah,
spot
go ahead.
Tonight? No.
I'm on there. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Did we move down?
That would be. I'm so used to this as my spot. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, Chuck.
You know, just, I was like, wait, I'm supposed to sit here.
All right. Yep, you're good to go. Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll bring this meeting to order. This is the council meeting for March 12th, 2024. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. All right, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Deputy Mayor Carter?
Here.
Councilmember Baldwin?
Here.
Councilmember Fullerton?
Here.
Councilmember Hubler?
Here.
Councilmember McClymans?
Here.
Councilmember Roach?
Here.
And Councilmember Swatman?
Present.
All right. We now have, let's see, no agenda modifications. We do have an appointment and three presentations. The first is a discussion and giving staff guidance on how we as a council want to fill the mayor vacancy. The city clerk prepared timelines for different options that council can decide on to appoint a mayor and place them on the dais. So you should have that for each of us. That's this. So we'll begin with the discussion on option one, I guess, or we can discuss them all, I guess. Let's look at that. Councilmember Fullerton.
Yeah, so the city does not have an ordinance for should we have a vacancy for the mayor position. We have an ordinance. We have a procedure that we follow when we do not have a council member and we need to replace that seat. But since we do not have a procedure, then we fall on the state procedures. So RCW 35A.12.050, vacancies. The office of a mayor or council member shall become vacant if a person who is elected or appointed to that position fails to qualify as provided by the law, fails to enter upon the duties of that office at the time fixed by the law without a justifiable reason, or as provided in the RCW 35A.12.060 or 42.12.010. A vacancy in the office of mayor or in the council shall be filled as provided in Chapter 42.12 RCW. An incumbent council member is eligible to be appointed to fill a vacancy in the office of mayor. So we are elected officials. We have been elected to this seat by the people. The mayor needs to be an elected position. We already have a deputy mayor who was appointed by the council, who is essentially elected by the council. The duties of the deputy mayor is to fulfill the duties of the mayor should the mayor become absent or is unable to perform his duties. It does not state in here that we can appoint a citizen to a mayor position. It says an incumbent council member, which is somebody who's elected or appointed, is eligible to be appointed to fill the vacancy of mayor. It does not say that we can open it up for anywhere. It doesn't say that we can open it up for interviews through through the citizens. We do have an ordinance or a procedure that we follow when we are wanting to appoint a council member to council when we have a vacancy, and that is to open it up to appoint citizens who interview and apply for the position. But we do not have a procedure for mayor. Therefore, it has to fall on RCW 31A.12.050, which says an incumbent council member is eligible to be appointed to fill the vacancy of the office of mayor. I am a no on doing interviews and opening it up to the public. I believe that is what our council position is for. So that's where I stand at that point.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Swatman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Acting mayor, indeed, right? So is it a clarification on that? So from, I think Councilmember Fulton points out the law there, is that limited to only council members, or is that, does the council have the ability to appoint? What's the limitations in the current status of the law on that?
Thank you, Councilmember Swatman. You're not limited to just sitting council members. It is typical for the office of mayor that sitting council members are, but it's not required by law. That is not a limitation. It is just letting the world know that an incumbent council member is eligible. Doesn't mean that other people are not eligible.
I have a question on that, then, just in the reading of it, because it, I guess my question would be, when the legislature wrote that, why did they include that specific thing and not that any person would be eligible?
So I would be, I am not a wizard. I do not have a crystal ball. And if anyone can figure out what the legislature is thinking at any given time, you know, come talk to me. I'd like to make you my consultant. I don't really know, but I would assume that they wanted to make sure that it wasn't limited, that it was clear that sitting council members are eligible. That has not been read to be a limitation. It's more of an inclusion. But I have heard that before. People have been concerned about that. You can go out and go beyond that.
And have other cities done that before then?
I'm sure that they have. In my experience, I was trying to think about all the cities I've had, and I have one that's gone through a few different mayors, typically by appointment and then election. I think they've always picked, the ones I've worked with, I've always picked a sitting council member, but they're not limited to that.
Thank you. Councilmember Baldwin, did you have something to say?
Oh, yeah. So I've been really thinking long and hard about this. I'm sure all of you have. I kind of go back and forth with a couple of thoughts, and so maybe this may be helpful. It may not be. I agree in some respects with Councilmember Fullerton that the mayor position should be, you know, somebody that was basically, you know, somebody that has votes from the people. And so I understand that. I guess the same argument can be made too for the council member that's coming up also, right? If you then create a vacuum, then that person, you know, would, I guess, consider to need to be elected as well, but that person will end up actually being appointed. And so I feel like I know already who I feel like is a qualified person to be able to go up into that position, and I feel like it would create a timeline that is smooth. However, I have been going back and forth in the thought process of, you know, giving the public, you know, I'm always, you know, very much about the people being able to have opportunities to be able to choose. And, you know, I think this is a potential opportunity. I still think I would choose the same. But I do wonder if we're doing a disservice to the people by not opening it up. So I've been thinking about that. I don't know if somebody I feel like is qualified and knows about everything with the budget, especially us going into a budget year. I don't know that there's somebody that would know as much as the person that I feel like is the most qualified right now, but you never know. And so I'm not totally against the idea of opening it up. I think it does create transparency in government. But I'm leaning pretty heavily in one direction. So but those are my thoughts.
Councilmember Fullerton.
So the functions of deputy mayor is many elected deputy mayors are members of the local government who are given the title and serve as acting mayor in the mayor's absence. Appointive deputy mayors, which would be if the mayor appointed that deputy mayor, would serve at the pleasure of the mayor and may function as a chief operating officer. So council or deputy mayor Carter was appointed by the council, and then we voted and he was elected to that deputy mayor position. We gave him our faith, we gave him our trust. He has fulfilled his duties as deputy mayor. He is now acting mayor pro tem until we make a decision. And essentially his job as deputy mayor in the absence of the mayor is to serve as the mayor. And that is what he's doing. I don't see the point in opening up. I can see no loopholes in the law. I can see no loopholes in the description of deputy mayor or an incumbent council member. I don't see where it says anywhere in the RCWs that we should open this up to public. The public already elected the seven of us to these positions. There's not one appointed position at this point. We've all been elected. So whether council member or, Deputy Mayor Carter is acting as Deputy Mayor Carter or Mayor Carter, he was elected by the people. They gave him their faith and they put him in that elected position. Therefore, I'm unwavering on my decision. I don't think that this is a position that should be opened up. We don't have an ordinance. We don't have a policy. We don't have a procedure because we've never lost a mayor before. So if you want to open it up to the public, then that needs to be something after the fact that we can come together as a council and we can create an ordinance or a rule or a resolution on what we want to do in the future should we ever lose another mayor. But to say after the fact, after that we've already lost our mayor and we don't have a procedure, we have an RCW that is telling us, it says an incumbent council member is eligible to be appointed to fill the vacancy of the office of mayor. But I don't see anywhere where it says you should appoint a citizen who hasn't been elected by the people. So for me, I'm unwavering on this. And I feel like the right thing to do would be to follow procedure, to follow the law. And Deputy Mayor Carter is acting mayor pro tem at this point. And I don't see any reason to make changes to the law or to the procedure that we don't have.
Okay. Councilmember McClymans.
So this is quite a pickle for us. So just to be fully transparent with to council and to the public, I want to see Terry be mayor, right? Just to be candid, because I believe that he's qualified, he's doing the job, and he can do the job well, and it would serve the citizens best at this point. I mean, for me, that's my point of view. We could open it up. That would be fine. I think there are only two people. There's only one person close to Terry, right? And that would be Justin, right? We need an executive in the city, right? We have 2 years and then we'll have an election, but we need an executive right now who can get stuff done. And I really believe that Terry can do that. I also believe though that Justin could do an excellent job at that. But as of now, right now, my concern is also that we have a council member sitting at the council retreat, right? If we appoint Terry tonight, then we can have a council member seated at the Saturday retreat, and then they can come in, and that would be an opportunity for them to get to know the council, to get to know the staff, to understand what we're doing, and not come in and have, I know I would feel like I just missed it by a week, right? So, to be transparent to everybody, and because I think I understand what the rules are, I'd like to make a motion that we appoint Terry Carter for mayor.
A second.
Motion a second, discussion on the motion.
I.
Sorry, Councilmember Roach. Sorry. I'm sorry, what?
Aren't we discussing it still? So, was that a motion to nominate? Or do we need to open it up for anybody who wants to nominate themselves?
Let's let the city clerk tell us what we need to do.
If you're done with discussion, then you need to open it up for nominations and then do a motion. And then a second and then a vote.
Okay, so we should hang, do we need to remove the motion? It becomes a whole issue, right?
Where does it say we need to do on nominations?
So what, a motion that would be in order right now, if you are done with the discussion of going out, it would be to select from sitting council members. But the process under your adopted rules of Sturgis or Roberts rules is for when doing an appointment, you take nominations. So you open the floor for nominations. Anyone can nominate. If you're limiting it to the council, another council member, you can nominate yourself. When all the nominations do not require a second, when there's no more people raising their hand to give nominations, then the chair asks three times, any more nominations? Any more nominations? Any more nominations? If there is none, then the nomination period is closed. At that point, the first person nominated is voted first. If that person gets four votes, the voting is over and that person is elected. If that person does not get four votes, you go to the next nomination, and the voting continues until someone gets four votes. So that is the way it works for nominations. You can't just make a motion to nominate. You just have to, you have to open it to nominations.
No motion.
So we're still discussing.
Or he could have a motion to move to nominations from among the council members. Whatever you guys want to decide. This really is the council's decision. You can keep it in, you can go out, but the nomination process is as I laid out. Thanks.
Okay, so
I think we have a few more questions.
Yeah, I think we have some more discussion then. So, Councilmember Roach, please.
Yeah, I was going to reiterate my comments from last week where I advocated for putting it out there. So we have a city of 25,000 people. Whether or not some of those candidates come forward or not, I think is beside the point. It's really about open government. It's an opportunity for us as a council to be able to show that we actually want to listen to them. So by taking a vote today, whether it's for Terry or anybody else, I think is a huge missed opportunity. And we'll just, you know, take a few steps back as a council and trust for the citizens. So I feel very strongly about it, that it should be open to all, and we should give a few weeks to be able to have people come in, advertise for it, just like we have for any other job, and see who comes forward.
Councilmember Hubler, did you have something? I thought I saw your hand up earlier.
I do. Transparency issues. I have been sent a whole lot of stuff in the past week, and I've gotten a lot of phone calls and messages from citizens that are concerned about Deputy Mayor Carter being our mayor. I have read through some of this stuff, and I'm honestly shocked. To be transparent, I was a child that was molested at 3 years old by a man. And the things that I have read in the records are not okay with me. The things that I've read that happened in the city of Bonnie Lake, the things that I've read and the things that have happened in the city of Pacific, I'm not okay with those. I'm not okay with Deputy Mayor Carter being our mayor in these kind of situations where he hasn't been able to uphold the law. He's been on a Pierce County's prosecuting attorney's Brady's list. How do we put someone in a mayor's position that hasn't been able to be trusted by our own police department, another police department, and our prosecuting attorney's office? It's not a one-time thing. I could see, you know, one time having an issue and moving past that, but we've had a lot of police issues over the years that people just turn blindly towards and forget that those exist. And that's when things start happening and they just, power comes into play, and I'm 100% not okay with this. I don't believe that that should be an option at all, no matter what. Okay. No matter if it gets opened up to someone else or if I get appointed, I don't 100% agree with Deputy Mayor Carter being our next mayor.
Councilmember Baldwin.
It sounds like the mayor's term ends, what, in 2 years? Like it's 2 years from now, then there's going to be an election. I have more to say after.
Yeah, anyone who's appointed would serve until the next municipal election, which is November of 2025. When that is certified, the person elected would be sworn in to finish this term, which would be a month, and then they would also then be sworn in for the next four-year term. So they would serve until 2029
okay,
once
so
elected.
Less than 2 years at this
so point. This one is, yeah, it's what, 17, a year, 7 months, something like that.
I guess what I will encourage the council with is we need to consider, like, whoever is going to be in the position, they need to be able to be re-elected. You know, that's I think that's something to be considered, if they have that ability to do that, so that we don't, you know, have kind of just a fallout of mayors and things like that. But I think the other thing is people are very emotional right now, and there's nothing worse than making a rushed decision when people are emotional. I don't want to rush through this decision. It's a big decision for the people. And I think, like, when we were just trying to, I don't know what we just did just now, but like, we need to be able to have the discussion. We need to be able to think clearly and logically about what is going on. Nothing is worse than making a rash decision that's rushed. That's always a stupid decision. And so, again, I feel the same as Councilmember McClyman's in my feelings about who should be in that seat. But at the same time, I feel very strongly that we should open it up to the people. I agree with Councilmember Roach that it does show transparency of government. Again, I don't know that my mind will be changed at all. But it does show the people. I mean, that's what we're saying. I looked at the law and I read through it. And it does say eligible to be appointed. And it's what Robertson had said. Sorry, I was about to call you Jennifer. It's what Robertson had said is that it's just who's eligible. It doesn't say that we can't do that. And we are the council, you know, elected by the people. And so we can make decisions that are different. And so with that being said, I really caution us not to make rushed, rash, emotional decisions. Those are not smart ones.
Councilmember Fullerton.
Yeah, so 2021 was an election year for several of us, and there was a beautiful article that came out that smeared Councilmember or Deputy Mayor Carter, and I know there was some people that were trying to be elected at that time that were involved in that article, and I believe that Deputy Mayor Carter was elected by the people. There was full transparency. All of the voters got to read all of the beautiful articles,
all of the amazing smear campaigns, and they still made a choice, and I believe it was around 58% or 60% that council member at the time, council member Carter, which is now Deputy Mayor Carter, was elected by the people. And I keep hearing transparency, transparency, but this to me is not about, you know, hey, we're going to open this up to everybody. We're going to, you know, we're not letting the people decide. If we open it up for interviews, we're still making that decision. We're still going to pick and appoint somebody to be mayor. So there's nothing about this. This isn't transparency. This is what the people have chosen. The people elected us. We have 7 elected officials sitting here. This isn't an emotional decision. I'm going strictly by the laws. I'm looking at the laws. I'm looking at our ordinances, our Bonnie Lake Municipal Code. You know, has anybody reached out to staff? I know that the staff has already been working with Mayor Pro Tem Carter at this point. And he's not going to be making any decisions based off of his past. This is basically, he has a vision for the city. He has a vision for the people. And, you know, God knows, you know, the Lord has used many broken people. We got Moses who stuttered. We have David, who was a murderer and a pornographer, you know. The Lord uses many people. He uses imperfect people. Not one of us is perfect. Everybody has a past. Everybody has something that they've done that they wish they hadn't done. And, you know, I can't judge people on whether they answered a call or not. But I'm just saying, looking at the law, this is not an emotional decision for me. We essentially, as a council, we elected Deputy Mayor Carter to be the mayor should the mayor not be able to fulfill his duties. We no longer have a mayor because our mayor was not able to fulfill his duties. Every single one of us was elected by the people. Past known. Everything known. And still 60% election.
So I'm just going to.
Yeah.
Done. Sorry.
I'm done. Okay. Yeah.
I will just make a quick comment. I'm not going to try and defend myself necessarily. It is what it is. I will just say that I have tried to stand up at the right time to people and organizations that I felt were not doing things right. I've made mistakes, but my issues with Bonnie Lake had to do with me calling out somebody, and then it became IA after IA after IA. I decided to leave. I went to the City of Pacific and was promoted to detective. And I handled CPS calls. There was no training. I'm sure maybe somebody's gone into a job where there's no training. And I notified CPS on some of those calls at the end of the call rather than at the beginning when there was no danger to the victim. That was my mistake. But I can see that there's been a smear campaign, and I really wish that if you have questions or if you want to know what happened, you would please reach out to me. At least get my side. You don't have to believe me, but please get my side. That's all I would ask. For better or worse, this is the reason we talk about transparency in government. This is the reason people don't get involved in government. So, with that. Councilmember McClyman.
Yeah, so I kind of agree with Hayes. I don't think putting this position out makes the government less, more or less open. I think our debate and what we do and how we relate with each other here and listening to the city, I think that does. I do have an urgency to have a mayor sitting at our retreat. You know, we can postpone the retreat until we have both a mayor and a council. Otherwise, we're faced with, unless we, I'd be okay with putting the mayor up for open if we wanted to change the timeline so that we can appoint a mayor Friday and then put out a call for a new city council member, if appropriate, Friday as well. And then we can seat a council member Saturday morning at the retreat. But I think going into a retreat without a full council and without a mayor, I think that's, I want to understand the value of that, right? Because you're just going to bring somebody in. It's a big job. It's a lot to learn. Unless it's a previous, somebody served previously, there's a lot to learn. This is an excellent opportunity to do that, right? So, you know, I don't want to keep the debate away from the people, but I do want to give the people, for me, it's about giving the people the best condition. The best condition would be on the 23rd, that morning, we have a full council and a mayor listening to staff present what they think the priorities are and what we should spend money on for the next 2 years. Okay, so that's my urgency. I really, you know, the thing is unless somebody is out in our community that I don't know, I would have a hard time believing somebody's going to come in here that has been endorsed by the people through an election, that has been committed to the city and has been running and is familiar with the current state of the city. There's one person in the city that matches that, right? That could apply, as far as I know, maybe two, right? Right. So besides Deputy Mayor Carter, well, there's a few people here that I would endorse as well. But right now, it's like, to me, I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, if you want to convince me it's somebody other than Deputy Mayor Carter, I would have to believe that they're electable.
Yeah.
I know he's electable because I saw his campaign and I saw that. They would need to be electable. They need to be familiar with the current state of the city, and they would need to understand how to work with the city. So when you get over that, that's like an enormous barrier to get past, right? For qualifications, there are three people that I can think of that haven't already said no, right? So unless one of you, besides Deputy Mayor Carter, right? You know, then I think it's pretty easy for me to figure out how to get there. So what I'd ask the council is, do we want to accelerate the selection process, have a special meeting Friday, select our mayor Friday? Is that acceptable? That's what I would propose. Because if we did that, then we could appoint a council member Saturday morning, right? I mean, are we going to get a different answer if it takes a week versus 5 days, 3 days?
What Friday are you talking about?
This Friday.
Why wouldn't we just nominate tonight? Or are you talking like you want to open it up?
Because there are council members who are rightly concerned about, one, rushing, and two, not asking and letting people apply, mm-hmm. right? So we could let people apply. We could get their resumes, and then we could review them Friday at a special meeting and make the selection. Right, this is not rocket science.
Says the astro, what are you?
Yeah, what are you?
What are you? Or something.
That's what I do at work.
Councilor Swatman.
Yeah, no, I think the end result would probably be who we think it is, we keep talking about, but I love the open government scenario, and I've always been that way. You know, you've seen me vote over and over and over against very qualified, excellent employees over and over. Actually, of course, one of our city administrators that y'all don't know, the previous city administrator, you know, we voted against, a couple of us voted against that individual back then, and was a fantastic city administrator. So it was just part of the process of, you know, council's pointed out that if we, you know, make sure we don't rush, I think that's a very excellent point, because, you know, we want to, in my mind, have as open a government as possible, make sure we know what's on the table out there. I agree with Councilmember McClemens that we've had repeated people that we've talked about that keep saying no. So, but I don't know what I don't know, right, ultimately. And I think, you know, Mr. Carter might even agree that, you know, hopefully that it's a good idea to make sure that we know what we know, because I think we're all here doing the same things to try to choose the best person for the job. Clearly, we kind of know what that is today, probably. But I want to make sure that there isn't some weird thing that, you know, it's like, oh, well, geez, you had X. And it was like, wow, really? You didn't even think about that. You know, there are some, maybe some retired military folks or something like that, or anything that's out there that I don't have a clue about. I have no clue whatsoever. I don't have anybody that that has not said no. You know, so, and we're all qualified. I'd love to see any one of these council members be the next mayor. Would be great. You know, deputy mayor's obviously, you know, right in line there, right? No, seriously. Yeah, Councilmember Baldwin would make an excellent mayor in my mind, right? You know, I'm sure she doesn't want to do it.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. I'm right there.
They're all well qualified. Councilmember Hubler, Councilmember Roach, of course, is the supreme qualified individual sitting here in my mind. But I can't seem to twist his arm enough to get him to do it. But you know, taking that little bit of time, I think that's what I've been trying to do. So I think we'll end up there. But I think open government. So that's long of. You know, taking a little bit of time. You're still the mayor. You are the mayor. People keep calling you deputy or whatever or something like that, but you are the mayor right now. You know, Councilmember Carter is the mayor. All the powers and, you know, it's just going to take a little.
Sure. Councilmember Baldwin.
I know with some of these concerns and these smear things and all that, you know, people can say all kinds of stuff about you. I know as a police officer, not me, but, you know, like people that are police officers, they really do. A lot of things are said about them, reported about them, you know, even if they're an upstanding individual, like they're literally dealing with, you know, some of the most difficult people in the public. And so, I have asked myself, you know, these kinds of questions to Deputy Mayor Carter, and as far as I'm concerned, every interaction I've had with him is constantly full of integrity and grace, and I know that as far as I am concerned in my interactions with him, I've just found him to be very much very. Just an honest individual. And so he's never been anything but that since I've met him and known him. And so with that being said, I definitely echo what Councilmember McClyman said. I just don't see somebody else, you know, I guess coming from the outside. And I'm very skeptical if we do open it up, just so you guys know. Mm-hmm. And if someone were to come along and actually be qualified to do the job the way that I feel like he can. And so so those are my 2 to 3 cents.
Councilmember Roach.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, with opening it up, one thing I hope is that whoever it is, and maybe nobody does, and we know Terry's interested, and Carrie mentioned she's interested, but at least that gives us an opportunity to talk to them. So I haven't talked to you personally, and yet here we are almost ready to vote, and I'm like, wait a second. Every time, and I've done this many times on the council, Pierce County Council, and every time the candidate goes to that mic right there, and all of us get to ask questions, and we get to know your vision for the city, and we get to know concerns that might be, and we have that interaction. But to just rubber stamp it right now without an opportunity to talk or you share your vision or anything is very misguided. So I'm all about, whether it's on a Friday or 2 weeks or whatever it is, open it up, give an opportunity. We know who the candidates are. We can talk, figure out where we are, ask the questions in a public forum so everyone can be a part of the council, but also the public as well, and then have a vote. That's very standard in a lot of other different governments.
Councilmember Fullerton.
Yeah, so we found out last week at the workshop that the mayor was going to be stepping down the next day. So we've literally had a week. I would like to know who actually, and last week we were told by Mayor Pro Tem Carter that he was interested in becoming mayor. And so we've had a week to have a discussion, to ask the questions, to reach out to Mayor Carter, and also to make phone calls and call another council member, call me. I made no ifs, ands, or buts about the fact that I was going to be nominating, at the time, Deputy Mayor Carter. So if somebody was interested in being mayor, they could have reached out this week. You've had 7 days. I haven't heard from anybody. I haven't gotten any phone calls. My phone's been on. I've been off since, you know, last week I was off. I haven't received any phone calls from anybody trying to convince me to change my mind, trying to let me know that they were interested. I haven't received any phone calls from citizens that wanted to apply for the position. I haven't heard from, my phone is on, not on silent. It's on full ring. So if you wanted to ask questions, everybody on the council knew that Mayor Carter was wanting to continue the position, so why didn't anybody reach out at that time? And, you know, so in full transparency, then reach out and ask the questions that you have and find out what the real stories are and find out what actually happened rather than assuming from liberal articles. But I'm still on the RCWs, and you know, if you want to open it up and have a, I'm off on Friday. I'm more than happy to come back and have a meeting on Friday and let everybody who's present can apply for the position if that's what council wants to do. But I don't think that has anything to do with transparency. I think the people have already spoken. They've already elected all of us. It's done. I mean, council member, Mayor Pro Tem Carter has been in position for almost 3 years now. So, and it was never an issue until tonight. And he was nominated and elected by the council in January to be deputy mayor at the time, knowing full well what those responsibilities were when we nominated and then elected him to that position. It wasn't a question at that time. There was nothing brought up at that time. And now all of a sudden that we don't have a mayor, we're going to start bringing up other stuff. So anyway, I'm good.
Councilmember Roach and then Councilmember Hubert.
Yeah, so Tuesday when we first found out about it, I think we left the meeting, at least I was under the impression we left the meeting that we were coming back tonight with this on the agenda to discuss process and what we were going to do. And there were three options given here. We got to the very first bullet point on option one and a nomination was already made. I mean, this is not looking good to the public who sees it being just jammed here. I mean, this is not open government. It's not. We didn't even get to option two or option three, and we're trying to nominate somebody.
He's already been elected.
I came here to talk about a process of how the appointment was going to be done, and I don't understand what the huge rush is here.
Councilmember Hubler?
I'm in agreement with Councilmember Roach on that point. Rushing into something that is this major, no matter if the person is elected or not elected. I don't know how many of you knew before last week the Bonnie Lake public records or all of the Pacific public records, but I didn't know these. I didn't know this until actually Wednesday and Thursday of last week. So if I didn't know this, how did we know that the rest of our Bonnie Lake voting community members actually knew all of these details that have been sent out? And these are not some liberal newspaper spewing misinformation. These are actual public records requests of written reprimands and times that it's been suspended. These are things where he's admitted in these conversations and these reprimands to what has gone on. These are not hearsay. I didn't know these existed until last week. I am bothered by a lot of this. How do I know, as a sitting council member elected by the community, that our police department that still currently has police officers in it that were working here during that time are going to want to work with Deputy Mayor Carter as a mayor? How do we know that? Have we spoken to our police officers that had that experience with him? Have we spoken to the police officer that had a threat against him and that was not taken seriously? Had we had those conversations? That's why rushing into this is not an acceptable process. Like, being just like, let's go? Heck no. If I'm sitting here in just absolute mortification that this is things that I'm reading, yes, they've been technically deleted from his file, but that does not mean they're not out there. Everything's been sent. And I'm just, I'm flabbergasted that this is, this has even happened, and that this is just not even okay. And Deputy Mayor Carter can say that, you know, yes, things aren't up in the up, whatever, but everything's in black and white, admitted to. And like I said already, as a child, in cases that were left untouched, whether you have a full file or not, it's just not acceptable as a in this position. And that's why I sit there and I'm like, if I'm seeing this and this is coming from community members to tell me this, because they're telling me, do not elect him as our next mayor. So that doesn't mean our community is behind him now. That means we need to do our due diligence and we need to protect our citizens, not just go, well, we like him, we're gonna take him. Let's just make him our next mayor. That is not acceptable as citizens and city council. We are elected to protect the people, not just protect a person because that person is been on the city council for 3 years or whatever it is. And had I known all of this detail when our very first meeting, when we were told that we had to elect a deputy mayor, I had no idea the past. I had no idea what was going on back there. If I would have known that, I would have 100% said no way. I don't believe that is the right person for our deputy mayor. Maybe it's Angela. Maybe it's Kelly McClymans. Whether it is or not, it is, we as a city council need to do this correctly, and we need to make sure that we are representing our city. Because for me right now, if I voted yes, that would absolutely not be okay. It would be a disservice to our citizens that elected us to be honest and fair at all times to our city. And this is not being transparent. If Deputy Mayor Carter had come forward and said, hey guys, I want you to know my past, and not hidden it, and been like, oh, I have an excuse for it. That's what I've heard. But this isn't just a push it under the rug, let it go. These are things that seriously people are bringing forward saying, hey, I'm concerned about this. Like, here it is. It's not one time. It's multiple times. And again, do we know if our Bonnie Lake Police Department want to work with him personally one-on-one? Do our cops that are sitting on the force want that to happen?
I will just say that I was working with them yesterday, teaching emergency vehicle operations. Officers, the reason I got in to running for council is because officers asked me to run, because some of the baloney that was happening at the PD at that time. So when I got in here, it was for them. And I got in here and I realized I need to do something good for the city. I can't just be here and be mad at what happened to me. I've been very public about it. I don't come out every time and every person I meet, hey, this happened to me, right? It's kind of weird, it's kind of awkward. But I've been very public about it. The article that came out, I think the person that you, a person, another person who I was running against brought that article out, which listed all that stuff and whatnot. I talked to that reporter, you know, a lot of people, oh, don't talk to the press or whatever. I talked to her. I said, hey, here's the deal. Sat down, explained each thing. So I'm happy to do that with anybody who would like to talk about it. But I know it's not going to matter to you right now, and that's okay. But I would just encourage you to, again, listen to more sides than one, because right now you're getting one side. Councilmember McClymans.
Yeah, okay, so I have to respond to a few things I've said. So what's the rush? The rush is we're going to sit down and develop one a culture on the 23rd. We're going to learn about each other. We're going to learn about staff. We're going to learn about the city. That, in my experience of legislating and governing, that's key. That's a big deal, and I just don't want somebody to miss out on that. I didn't put us in this position. The mayor put us in this position. I just want to have a full functioning government for the retreat. So postpone the retreat or outline a way we get a full functioning government for retreat. That is my haste. The other haste I have is, unless you can tell me we're going to get a different answer than Deputy Mayor Terry Carter, we've just wasted 52 minutes on this topic. And if Terry actually, Deputy Mayor Carter actually winds up as the mayor, I reserve the right to neener, neener, neener you guys. Because, right? Because that's it. I mean, to me, it's like obvious. You know, here's the problem, right? It's black and white. To me, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen. We have a lot of business to do. We got a lot of stuff to do, right? And if we're going to come up with a different answer by opening it up, great, let's do it. Let's do it in an expeditious fashion. Let's set a timetable. Let's get people in here Friday evening. Let's interview them, and let's pick a good one. I think most people that care about the city and are involved, I think we can get good candidates, and I think we can do that, and I think, yes, that would serve the city well, right? I'd be curious to know if we get a different answer. That's interesting. So that deals with why I'm in a hurry, right? I don't want to rush it, but I think we need to act with haste, right? We don't need to be careless, but we should act with haste because we have an opportunity, right? Look at the timeline. Say, how do we get a mayor and a city council member if we appoint a city council member as mayor seated by the 23rd? I can tell you how to do that today, right? If we move with haste. Not careless, right? Not rush, but with haste. So I'm willing to listen. We just need to do it. So dealt with that. Second thing is, you know, I am not supporting Councilmember Carter because he's my friend. I didn't know Councilmember Carter before I got seated. I've come to know him. As a deputy mayor, he's worked very well. He's done a lot of things. The MRAC effort that we're currently maybe on the verge of taking advantage of a city, I didn't bring it. Who else brought it? Deputy Mayor Carter went out and made that work. When I was looking for good candidates to run for the city council, I spent 3 months trying to find people, and lo and behold, two people come forward. I talked to those two people, and you know what? It's like it's good people that bring good people forward, right? So when I look at how that goes, that's the evidence I have. So I look at the works, right? that have come forward, and I go, I see good stuff for the city from Deputy Mayor Carter, and that's why I support him, not because he's my friend, right? I have lots of friends, right? But not every friend can be a good executive. The other thing is, I've worked for some really rotten executives, right? You have to have people skills. You have to have the ability to make hard decisions. You have to understand what a budget is, and you have to care. I believe Deputy Mayor Carter embodies all of those. That's why I support Deputy Mayor Carter. So one, I don't want to rush, right? But I do want a full government, a functioning government at the retreat. So either postpone a retreat or let's move with haste.
Okay. Councilmember Baldwin.
I support everything that Councilmember McClyman just said. And so I guess my next question then becomes, you know, and I agree with you that I wouldn't want to push forward, especially when two council members are feeling very strongly and probably need to have conversations and to think a little bit more, but also agree that there needs to be some haste because of some of the decisions that we have coming up. And so I don't see why we can't change the retreat date if we need to. And I do like the Friday option as well. So I don't know if you guys can speak to that or whatever. I like the Friday option.
So it's possible, although difficult, right? And so City Clerk, did you have something to say?
To come up with a date, we're trying to get like 25 people to all have a date. It was extremely hard to even come up with a date.
I understand that, but there's literally our mayor just left. Like that changed everything. That wasn't in the ballpark at the time of the decision. I agree with you. That it requires a lot of movement, but at the same time, like our mayor just left. Surprise! He's gone. So, you know, I think that changes things a bit, and maybe things need to be considered a little bit differently. I don't know. That's just my thought.
And we do have money down, just to let you know, on caterers, and it's too late to get that money back.
We can't move it.
Oh, you could do
it. We've moved it already, and they allowed it once for me to move it.
Sounds like
go ahead, Councilmember Swatman.
I think Mr. McClemens, a council member, had a, you know, the haste idea is good, right? Is there a timeline that worked out so that we could make this all happen and reasonable while still entertaining some public options at the same time? Is that what I was hearing?
Friday, special counsel.
Yeah, either Friday or Monday. I mean, we should talk about it. In the interest of being open, we should talk about it and see what would work. If we're reluctant to move the date, is there a way to see the mayor on Friday or Monday at the latest, right? And then turn around and see the council member Saturday morning. That would be my proposal. Once we're done with discussion.
So you could certainly schedule a special meeting. And I'm not sure if you're talking about Friday the 15th or Friday the 22nd.
15th.
So you could certainly have a special meeting. I mean, assuming I'm talking for the clerk, that she could put stuff on social media channels that we're taking, we have, you know, 48 hours or something, you can apply by noon on Friday. You could have a special meeting on the 15th. You couldn't seat a council member the next day because we don't know if you're going to have a council vacancy.
Right.
So you would have to wait until there's a council vacancy. And then, so if you had a special meeting on the 15th, you select a mayor, and that mayor happens to be a council member, you do have a process in your council rules where you advertise. I don't think that it has a certain amount of time that you have to advertise, but say you made a decision on Friday, put a new mayor in, that created a council vacancy. You could certainly start putting it out on social media, advertise on Monday, I guess have another special council meeting. I mean, unless you only give one day of application and interview on the 19th, otherwise you could potentially have that decision be the first order of business at the retreat. But if you're interviewing, that would take up a lot of time at the retreat.
Sure.
So that would be about the only way.
It's a conservation of complexity. No matter when we do it, it's going to take time.
The other thing you could do is if you are advertising for a new council member, you could invite applicants to come and watch the retreat. But if you don't have someone seated by then, I think it would be very challenging to have a special council meeting on the 15th and again on the 22nd and the retreat on the 23rd. I think that would be, I'm not saying it's impossible. That's really, we've got to look to Sadie and the rest of the staff. It would be a challenge. But you could certainly get a mayor seated by then, especially if, even if you do an open.
Yeah, the mayor can be seated before. I believe that. It's just that I'm also worried about losing a council member. Thank you for that. I don't want to create work for the staff. That's not my intention. I'm just trying to get it to be effective.
The mayor created the work for the staff. By leaving.
Councilmember Fullerton.
And just to be transparent, the whole entire council, to the best of my knowledge, except maybe two, Mayor Carter has always been transparent on what happened. I was running at the same time for council as Mayor Carter at the time. And so I was aware of all of the articles. I read the articles. I read the reports. And it was out there because it was part of the campaign against Mayor Carter. And so if you didn't read it, I know most people saw it. Everybody on council saw it. Mayor Carter gave us his side of the story. He told us what happened. He's always been transparent. And he's been, how many years have you been on council now? You're going on 10 years or some 6 years. So all of the police officers have worked with Council Member Carter, Deputy Mayor Carter, and Pro Tem Mayor Carter, Mayor Pro Tem Carter. So it's already been out there. They've already been working with him. So it's been out there. It's been open. It's been public.
Any further discussion right now before we move to, I guess, it sounds like, if I'm reading this right, we have an option. We have a couple of options, right? So there's option 1, 2, and 3 that's on our page here. And then there's probably a fourth option presented by Councilmember McClymans. So I guess what we can do is just go through each one and which one do we want to do? So I guess can I call for a vote on option 1?
Those are just sample options.
Okay.
Just to give you guys an idea of how timelines work, depending on kind of like how you want, but the dates and stuff can change depending on how long you guys want to advertise and things like that.
Okay.
Can I just say one thing?
Please, Councilmember Baldwin.
Before we go through these options, though, I feel like as a council, we need to decide whether we need to change the retreat date. Because this would push things out if we're wanting things to be at the retreat. That's what it sounds like, is we want there to be, right? That we want there to be the right people at the retreat making very difficult decisions for the city. And so wouldn't that then mean we would have to change the retreat date, like if we don't choose one of these options?
Well, I think even with some of these options, new council member takes oath on, for this option 2, April 2nd. So,
and so I'm just wondering, like, it looks like the latest date that I'm seeing here on this timeline, by the way, whoever, did you do this timeline? Thank you. That, you know, if there's a way that we can do it past April 9th. And I wonder, I mean, has the caterer seen the news? Right? Like, we lost our mayor. I feel like it would be nice if, it would be nice, I guess.
I don't think the cost of lunch
is that on the news?
To do with a multi-million dollar city.
Yeah.
Councilmember Hooper, news
I watch. I think moving the retreat, as much as it sucks, is our best bet, because I need to be able to have some more discussions. I need to be able to make my decisions as well, and I don't want to be rushed into a Friday. And on top of it, Friday, I'm my Girl Scout troop. We're going to Main Stage Theater to go to support our local actors and actresses. So, and then Monday is my son's 17th birthday. So two dates that we're being told, like, hey, suck it up, take it for the team. I mean, but these are things that are really important in my life too. So just being able to take that time, whether we open up, if we take a current council member for mayor, or we open up for both, either way, we need to be able to take that time to have those more in-depth discussions and talk even more, or allow us to have those conversations privately with others. I just think, we've got a week and a half before council retreat. Does it suck to move it? Yep. Will we probably lose a little bit of money? Yes. But is it better for us to take that time? And especially if Councilmember McClymans is correct, to have a mayor and all seven council members there is the better choice. We need to make sure that, like, this is my first one. I mean, for me, there's going to be a lot of learning. Just in the past 2.5 months, there's been a ton of learning. So having a new council member come in after that could be a lot harder for that person, or a mayor, whoever it is, coming in. We need to make sure that we're a little more prepared for that.
All right. Well, I guess, how do we move this forward? What are the options?
I feel like there needs to be an option four. There needs to be an option four.
What's that?
There needs to be an option.
Option four. Yeah, that's kind of what we're.
So really, the council can do a few different things. You could have a motion to postpone the retreat and ask the staff to go back out and survey folks for a new date. I didn't know if there's an urgency in terms of the budget on when the retreat needs to happen. No, okay. So then you could also, that or and, either one, you could take an option 1, 2, 3, or 4, a new option. The options, the motions, I think, for option one would be, if you were going to appoint tonight, would be to move to take nominations on the mayor tonight, limited or not, to city council members. The other would be to make a motion to appoint the council member and then go out for a new council member. That would be option two. Option three would be to advertise for the vacancy of mayor and to give, this is also option four, advertise for the vacancy of mayor, setting the date when the applications would be due. So option four would be the same thing, but setting them to be due by noon on Friday, if you wanted to have a Friday afternoon or evening special council meeting. That's the four options there. So you can have postponement of the retreat can be, you might want to vote on the options first, because if you're going to get this done in time, that might influence people voting on to postpone the retreat. But that's really, this is the council's decision. So I don't know if that was very clear.
we're kind of all over the place, I guess. Yeah.
You're setting the process on selection of the mayor by a motion. If you think the council has come together any one particular way, I'm happy to create a motion for you.
but I'm not really sure where the council is, frankly. So, you know, it would be, I move to if it's to go out, advertise for a vacancy of mayor with the application deadline being whatever that date is, and the interviews and consideration of the appointment to be on a different date. I mean, that could be the motion. So
I motion to nominate from within the council.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion. Seems like we've discussed a lot, but
I think we need to open it up.
Right.
I think we need to take our time.
Councilman Roach?
Yeah, I was clear from last week, and I haven't changed, but it definitely should be an open process, and so I'll be voting no.
Okay. All right.
Call the question.
No. I'm sorry, Councilmember
Call Plymouth. A question.
Call a question.
Yeah. I think we've debated it enough. I think we should just vote.
All right. All those in favor of choosing a council member, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's two. Those against?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay. Fails. We have another motion.
I move to, postpone the retreat to a future date.
Second.
Discussion? Want to need the date, or we good for Friday? Sorry.
Well, we don't. We would have to guidance.
We don't
yes.
Vote yes. Said no.
So, Councilmember Fullerton and Councilmember Carter said yes. Everybody else said no.
To nominate from within council.
Correct.
I believe Councilmember McClyman said yes too, didn't you?
No, I said no.
Okay.
All right. So the next motion is to postpone the retreat.
To the next available best date.
Okay.
It's be determined by staff. Right? Well, we don't know. How are we going to? Yeah.
Oh. Has anybody seconded this motion? I don't think so.
I did.
You did? Okay. Councilmember McClyman, thank you. All right. Any other discussion on that? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Got that? Okay.
So then if it sounds like the council wants to go out to advertise for the vacancy of mayor, so a motion would be in order of when you want that vacancy to close and when you would want to take up the interview process.
Councilmember McClyman.
I think now that we postponed the retreat, I think it would, you know, if there's not, if we're not going to be working to a timeline, I think I would prefer for the interviews to be at a council meeting and not a workshop.
So interviews in 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
So what is that?
That's what I was looking at. When is it?
Interviews for the 26th. Councilmember Baldwin.
I'm so sorry. I am curious if it is possible to postpone interviews past after April 7th.
For
mayor? We have 90 days, so.
Okay, yeah, because I am going to be in South Africa until April 7th on missions. If you don't want me there for the decision, I understand. I don't know that I can.
Since your name is going to be
video in.
You'll come back mayor.
I'll be in a township somewhere.
If you're not here, you may become mayor.
I know, right? Exactly right. Say you had to accept it.
So that would be what, the 9th?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm lost on where we are in our second.
So that would be, so let me recap. So I think, so option, I believe the way the option would work is that we would advertise the opening, and we'd have interviews on the 9th of April, and then we could ever, if a council member was chosen, then we could have the interviews on the 23rd of April. So we could have a full government again on the 23rd of April.
For council members on the 23rd, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if we select a mayor from the council on the 9th, mm-hmm. then we could select a council member, the replacement by the 23rd.
Terry. So one thought was, so we didn't, you wanted to go 2 weeks, so it was on the council meeting rather than a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just move it to make the workshop a council meeting? That gives us 1 week.
The separation things? Between the council member and the mayor, the 9th to the 16th. Is that what you were thinking?
No, bringing the, so instead of going 2 weeks from now, which you couldn't make, do it 1 week from now, which would have been a workshop, but we could change it to an actual council meeting, which will give us 1 week, and then we'll be able to do it.
I will not be in Africa next week, so I'll be available.
So, okay, so if I get this right, you're talking the 19th?
Yeah, next.
So you want to give people 4 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. 5 days to apply?
Yeah, it'd be quick. And to be honest, I personally don't think, you know, the next council member has to be at that retreat, but I understand that some people do. But I do have the concern, if you leave it open for 3 weeks, for example, that's a headache for a lot of people, because there's going to be all the politicking and trying to line mm-hmm. things up, but it's mm-hmm. it's pretty exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think 5 days would be sufficient. I mean, if they're interested in running for mayor, they'd put their stuff together pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
City clerk, yes.
So the recommendation then would be we could start advertising tomorrow for the mayor. We could take applications up until 5 o'clock on Monday the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 19th, you guys would hold open interviews
yeah.
for those applicants. And choose. You could choose that night, and then the mayor could get oathed in that night. And then on the 20th, if it happens to be a current council member, then on the 20th, we could advertise for the vacancy of council member if there is one, and you would just have to guide us on how long you want to keep those applications out for.
What's that?
Until the 9th.
Oh, because you were waiting for council member Baldwin.
The 8th.
So the application would stay open until Monday, the 8th of April, and then the interview process would happen on the 9th of April should we lose a council member.
Correct.
But if we don't lose a council member, then that will all be taken care of next week.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Councilmember yes. McClymans.
Yeah, I think I'd be okay if we just change the rules for the workshop to allow public testimony. I think my big concern with this is that if the public wants to talk, I would like to hear the public talk about this, right? So
the 9th is meeting day.
Pardon me?
The 9th. He's talking about the
9th. It would be the 19th, which we could we suspend the rules so we allow the public
to if you're doing action, we automatically have public commenting, even if it's a workshop. So yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Sounds like option four is what was just good described.
Option. Good option.
I make a motion to move forward.
We'll call it option four.
Option four. The 19th for mayor candidacy and the 9th of April for open council if needed.
Second.
All right. Any other discussion? Are we good? Councilmember Climates.
I think we should make sure we bring chocolate and jerky to the retreat for staff.
Yeah.
Roses, too.
Roses.
All right. With that, go ahead. Okay. All in favor of going for what's described as option four, say aye.
Aye.
Was opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Clerk?
May we have a suggestion of tabling the presentations to another meeting, perhaps?
I'm sorry, I got lost.
There's like more going on.
We've got three presentations, but we could table those for another meeting.
Yeah, we could do that. Is there a motion? I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
Second, to table them?
Yeah.
Before we table them, is there somebody here who is going to talk or testify about one of these that wants to do that now that they couldn't do it in the future?
I think it was Ms. Harris, Shanaman, and myself were kind of presenting those things.
Okay.
I think we're good.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we've knocked that one out.
He'll come on, because we're still...
Do we have an all in favor?
Right, all in favor, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Of tabling?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. All right. All right, no public hearing. Citizen comments. And this is your time to address the council on city business. The city will now enable the video and microphone for those attending virtually. You will need to turn on your video microphones on your end if you are wanting to be seen or heard. We will start with those who are here in person and move to the virtual comments afterwards. You have 5 minutes. State your name and address for the record, please. Please, sir.
Russ Rudolph is my name. I've been in the city for around 55 years, Admin 7515, 181st Avenue East. And one picture is worth 1,000 words. Can I give you some pictures?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is about a violation.
Oh, you know.
What's that?
Please give it to the clerk and then she'll pass it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
The tree ordinance.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I share with Kelly and you share with them. Thanks.
Okay. It is a big tree.
Any questions? Notice the tree is cut off. According to statute in the city of Vine Lake, it's a dead tree. You have to have a permit to cut down a tree or take and cut it off. So, I have a violation there. You see the code. Notice the date, December 12th, 2023. Here are the pictures of the tree in 2020, 3.5 years ago.
Which tree is it?
It's a cedar tree. It's over to the right. You can just see it over the van. That's a city employee gate.
This?
It's a 100-year-old cedar tree. It's a school barn, according to vulgar jargon, but they're split trees. We have one right outside here, cedar tree. It's kind of known for them.
Are you seeing it? I'm not seeing it.
No, I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
Is it the tree next to this vehicle?
I can show you if you want. That's the violation.
Can you show me?
Yeah, you can approach the dais. You would like to.
This one here, right there. See it cut down right there?
Yes.
Okay, that was December 12, 2023. City employee.
Great. Okay.
And that picture there is from an insurance company in December 2020. And Section 9 says if it's a natural disaster or something like that, Mother Nature took it down. We saved the tree by cutting it. You can see on the two tops on one of the houses there, the buildings. So now I have a violation. I went down here. I called Mr. Votopich at 4:05 on December or March 4th. Told him that we had to take this care of it and to call me, or we'd go to the city council. So here we are. So I'd like that violation vacated, and I also would like to know who the person was and the chain of command who gave him the go-ahead. And that's, do I get it here or do I have to go through public records, freedom of information, which will be a mess, but I want to do it.
Great question. I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Sullivan to help us through that.
So I cannot speak to who submitted the request for action because I don't have it on the top of my head. I do know that I reached out to Brandy Lamperson, who sent the letter, and had her reach out to Mr. Rudolph. When we receive requests for actions, we don't know what has transpired on a piece of property over time. And I know Brandy had reached out to Mr. Rudolph, I think, the next day and had a very good conversation with him and agreed that if it had been damaged because of lightning strike or nature, that the notice of violation would be waived. We've received the documentation now that it was from a natural disaster, so the violation is closed and waived as far as we're concerned.
You're mistaken. She called me that same day.
Oh, I apologize. The same day.
Yeah, 4:30 she called.
Sorry. I thought it was the next day. That...
Well, we talked the next day, too.
Okay.
I never had, normally, 55 years in this city, I've learned that you keep a record of everything the city has done, period. Whether it's sewers, police, whatever it is, you have to have a record. And this time, I didn't take a record. Because, oh God, it was a disaster. But lo and behold, 3.5 years later, get a violation.
So as I, you know, as I said, we don't know what transpires on the property. We're not watching properties all the time.
Show him a picture there.
No, I have looked at the pictures, and we definitely have confirmed that the violation is closed. We can send a letter, verify that to you, Mr. Rudolph. But yeah, I think, like I said, Brandy reached out that same day. Wasn't able to talk to her. That's what I was meaning. And the next day,
nice.
Yeah, she was really nice. Reached out, got all the information, and as soon as we received the information that it was due to a natural disaster, the violation was closed. And that's it. No fines were issued. So notice of violation simply says you have 30 days to resolve the violation.
Get him some documentation to say that
we will gladly. I will
no issue.
I will get with Brandy tomorrow to get the letter of compliance out.
I have a question. If I plant a tree right here and it grows 2 years and I cut it down, it's a violation called the municipal. Now, one other time, a number of years ago, I put it in and requested cut down some trees. My trees are 100.
Can you speak into the mic? Sorry. Thank you.
My trees are 100 years old. Guess what? 10 of them took out 3 houses, 2 houses in a garage, and a truck after the city denied that permit. So what's going to happen now if I put in, or anyone puts in, request for a permit, and a tree goes on to somebody's property and damages it? Is the city responsible?
So what I can speak to is generally, we will definitely get the letter out. Trees don't become regulated until they hit 6 inches in diameter, which is measured 54 inches above the ground. So no, if you planted a tree tomorrow, and in 2 years, it could...
I planted super trees that are 100 feet tall now.
It's not the height, it's the diameter.
The diameter's like this.
and so that's when it becomes a regulated tree. The second part is we do have provisions in our code. I don't know what happened to the permit 10 years ago, but we have specific provisions in our code that if an arborist says the tree is a hazard to either a property, it's a high or an extreme hazard to property, and there's actual forms that they fill out that identify these things, then they can be removed without any permit. We just ask that you give us the arborist report. So things like this type of miscommunication does not happen. So there is a process to completely take care of hazard trees or trees that are potentially a hazard on your property. So that provision was added to the code a couple years ago, so I can't speak to what happened.
Coach can put a nail on a tree or put a rope on it.
We put that in the provision. There is a provision that says you can't spike trees. One way of killing a tree is to drive a bunch of penny nails in at the base and then claim the tree died because it was poisoned. Penny nails poison trees, so that's why that is in the code.
Al York Park and Dog Park, each tree down there has a little nail in it with the number on it.
Correct. We would never go after anybody for a single nail. It is, as I said, spiking trees with multiple pennies.
Say that. It says nail. Okay? Anyway, I just want to get it over with, done with, and Mr. Vodovich did not return my call, so we've had a history of that. So anyway, I consider it done, and you don't have to worry about it, correct?
Correct. And Mr. Rudolph, if you'd like to come to our offices to talk about any other tree on your properties?
5 years of stuff that's went on all from every department. You know, get a hold of me, and I'll give you videos, emails, whatever it is. I mean, from sewers. I couldn't even hook up the sewer on my own land. Goodbye.
Thank you. It sounds like if you want to give your information to Mr. Sullivan, it sounds like he could probably take care of on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Council Mayor, I'm past Council Member Dan Decker of 2417th Street, East Bonnie Lake, Washington. I just wanted to say tonight was an interesting fiasco. I mean, even beyond that. One council member, she said I or me over 167 times. Good job. Another council member said something about people are concerned about the way the election would be if it was tonight and it needs to be going out to the people. I would like to have a name, list, and address of all of those people that are concerned. This is an RCW 4256 request, and I'm directing it direct at Dan Roach, Councilmember Roach. And I think that tonight was a really interesting adventure in lack of response and correctness in a council meeting. I appreciate five of the people. The other two I'm really concerned about because they demonstrated that they were here because they were representing, I believe, a church interest. I said, a church interest, not an interest of the people. And that is a thought that needs to be looked at strongly. And I'm very unhappy about what's happened tonight. And council, remember one very, very specific, important thing. The 90-day period started on the 5th of this month, not today. And we have 90 days to get a mayor in office, or the county will appoint someone, whether you like it or not. And thank you very much, council. Remember, I just requested an RCW 4256 from Dan Roach on those people that he mentioned were concerned about the way process is going. And if he doesn't have those people, then I guess he just lied to us.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Seeing no one, we will now start those that are virtual. You have 5 minutes. State your name and address for the record, please. I see a hand up for Michelle DePorter.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. My name is Michelle DePorter, and I live on 210th Avenue East in Bonnie Lake. I want to commend the council for not rushing and opening the mayoral field to outside applicants, considering the city council lost two extremely qualified council members in the last election who also have a wealth of experience should they want to apply, and the talent pool in our city is deep. The position of mayor pro tem exists for a reason, and situations like this would be that reason. That being said, I will express my sincere concern that Mr. Carter is in a position to be appointed to be the mayor of this city when he carries with him a well-documented, troubling history. The articles referenced in the council's discussion as a smear campaign did include Mr. Carter, and he was interviewed for the article as he stated. All of the appropriate disciplinary notes and reports from his time at Bonnie Lake are a matter of public record, and they're freely available online. Mr. Carter resigned from the Bonnie Lake Police Department in 2013, but it's because he was faced with being terminated for conduct unbecoming and for lying to his superiors, and he was subsequently added to the Pierce County Prosecutor's Brady List, which identifies law enforcement officers who have, among other problems, credibility issues. He's also been in significant trouble in his current job at Pacific, where he was disciplined for negligently not working on cases of crimes against children and even allowing the statute of limitations to expire on some of them so suspects were allowed to go free without consequence. Mr. Carter, who is a career law enforcement officer, falls back time and again on blaming his superiors for his own shortcomings saying that in decades in law enforcement, for example, he was never trained on how to handle cases, and that that's why he was caught with a backlog of at least 30 sex abuse cases, many of them involving children. The idea that Mr. Carter and other currently seated council members tonight are willing to overlook all of the public records and all of the reports and a consistent multi-year history of lies and dereliction and suggest that apparently some law enforcement officers are worthy of respect, but the ones who disciplined Mr. Carter are problematic or are liberal plants that multiple supervisors over multiple years in multiple cities found reasons to discipline him out of retaliation because they didn't like him. That is not only unreasonable, but it makes a significant statement about how gullible some members of this council think their constituents are. Mr. Carter may have shared his appearance in that article and discussion of his unfortunate history with like-minded council candidates in the re-election year, but he's done a remarkable job of keeping it hidden from citizens. I have followed his time as a council member very closely, and I have never once seen him publicly address any of the concerns, and I have met very few people with knowledge of the events. It's clear to me that almost no one saw that article in a small online publication. His opponent in that election didn't openly campaign, didn't distribute literature, didn't make any appearances, and didn't place campaign signs. Mr. Carter basically ran unopposed, which speaks to the council's discussion of the votes he received. I believe the haste being driven today by a certain cohort of the council was an attempt to force the hand and make the appointment before more citizens might be exposed to this information. If some council members were not previously aware, they now will have this time to further research so they can be held accountable for their individual votes should they vote to appoint Deputy Mayor Carter, knowing the truth about his character, which frankly should immediately disqualify Mr. Carter from leading our city. Moving forward, filling the subsequently open council seat, should a council member be appointed mayor, I would like to ask the council to please consider the recent elections that were held and consider the desires of their constituents and residents of Bonnie Lake. My concern in particular is knowing that at least one candidate who lost their race is affiliated outside the city council with at least three current council members. And should Bonnie Lake citizens be allowed and encouraged to submit their applications with an eye toward wanting to participate in municipal government, all candidates should be ensured equal and fair consideration. The city, the citizens, and all possible applicants deserve full transparency in all of these proceedings. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Got a hand open.
Okay. Well, I'm finishing up comments, right? Okay. I don't see anyone else for the good of the order. The city will now disable all video and microphone for those attending virtually. And Councilmember McClymont, did you have something?
Yeah, I would respectfully ask for permission to address the accusation that I tried to nominate you in order to keep your past record a secret. That was not my intention at all. And I would just like Ms. DePorter to understand that I was just trying to move with haste because I think there's an inevitable outcome. And I was just trying to conserve energy and time on everybody's part because I believe that's the inevitable outcome. So rest assured, there wasn't an underlying any form of malfeasance there or an agenda other than just getting stuff done. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, go to committee reports. Finance Committee. I'll do that one. The Finance Committee met today at 5 o'clock upstairs. We approved our minutes. We had a personnel update. We had a discussion about AB 2423, Resolution 3201, finance discussion in regards to the interlocal agreement with Pierce County for opioid abatement settlement funds. Essentially, there's two settlements for about $500,000. We're looking to join with Pierce County and other cities to disperse those funds in a positive way to help fight opioids. And then we had AB 2424 resolution 3202, which is the Johnson & Johnson opioid settlement agreement. That is two payments of $75,000, and basically it would be, we'd be agreeing to it. So the first one will be coming to, I'm trying to remember what my notes here say. I think in a couple weeks it goes to Finance Committee agenda items, so we'll talk about that later. The other one's talking about getting money, and so I think that went on to the consent agenda in a couple of weeks. There was a recreation program discussion as well. And there, I think as we mentioned the last time, there was positive movement in that the school district will discuss a potential ILA with the rec program in the city at their work, I think it's a workshop tomorrow. And then we had a very brief discussion on vouchers. And that brings up Community Development Committee, please. Councilmember Smallman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had a discussion, single item was the comprehensive plan update process that the council is probably aware that we're working on a new comprehensive plan, the city is, so that will be coming forward. Of course, the public and planning agency does a lot of pre-work on that. We'll see pieces of it come through the Community Development Committee and then to the council workshop undoubtedly. So it's going to be a plan where, you know, dig into the details of that and get a lot of pre-questions answered with staff or what have you, if you like. If you want to dig into those, that's a huge, gigantic plan. And it won't come forward in just a 3,000-page, you know, essay. It's going to be multiple pieces with any luck. So that's what we'll be moving forward with in the future, but that's, you know, many long process.
Very good. Thank you. Public Safety Committee, please. Councilmember Baldwin.
The Public Safety Committee met this morning, at 3:30 today. Our next meeting will be April 9th at 3:30 on the second floor. Public is welcome. We had a report from East Pierce. Station 111, the roof is on. They are working on the interior currently. Also, Proposition 1 is on the ballot in April for a special election to do a lid lift on their fire levy. Bonnie Lake will benefit that it will add an additional aid unit. The Bonnie Lake PD officers, many of them were at Trooper Gad's Memorial Service up in Everett. We have two entry-level officers that started March 1st. They are currently waiting for the basic Law Enforcement Academy spots, which could take up to 6 months. We have two laterals coming in. And it sounds like the third will have the chief's interview. I hope I said that right. Anyway, the prosecutor's office had a report, and then also the emergency management monthly report came out. Their comprehensive emergency plan came back from the state with positive feedback. We actually haven't had that updated since 2000. So great that we have that going on. We also went over the Allen York Park operational plan. There was a lot there. So we are going to have three off-duty officers that are going to be at the park, and that's going to be added and canceled based on weather. We have one that's going to be at the boat launch parking for enforcement, and also the gate entry for the beach. There's talks about thinning out vegetation. And things like that, keeping the lighting on 24/7. We were just talking about ways to just keep that area as safe as possible. Also for future kind of thoughts on Old City Hall site, that's going to that is projected to be demolished and cleared out this coming fall. And I feel like that's everything.
All right, thank you. We now have the consent agenda. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Second? Discussion? Oh, okay. All those in favor of passing the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? All right, that passes. Seeing no committee issues, that's it. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. That was fun.
That makes sense what I was trying to say.
About the truth?
Yeah,
I was just kind of interested in how that all came from.
I don't know if I'm sitting in the best rack. Mm-hmm. We roll out, mm-hmm. We look, yes, the truth from part half by COVID.
I'll have to touch base with you.
Yes.
Somebody get your input.
No problem. And so we said, bitch.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else that's excited?
Yeah, if you want to call.